Les colloques du Collège de France.
So it's my pleasure to welcome all of you for this special occasion. So our birthday child Claude is here. Our birthday child Claude is here, so he made it well. He made it well by car. He was driving yesterday 2 hours in a traffic jam in Paris, so he's in good shape after this very long week. So this is the final day of the conference that actually Anna was the main organizer. That was 4 days at Centrale Supélec. But then in December, my friends at La Barchaque de Lyon told me, bon, on aime bien Claude, mais on va pas se taper le voyage sur le plateau de Saclay tous les jours. Tu vas déplacer au moins une journée. So then I asked Pierre-Louis, would you mind if we do on Friday, which is the day I'm used to come here for the cours at the seminar of Pierre-Louis? And he immediately said yes, because also he does not have to go there. But then it was a bit complicated because his course already stopped. So she's not here, but Véronique Sainz, the assistant of Pierre-Louis, she did a great job, very nerve-wracking for her at some point, that we have this room. And I see that we hit the target to have it full, but not over full. Because if you announce free champagne in Paris and you announce it everywhere, you have 300 people coming. So we have the good number of friends and interested mathematicians. So we are here really for a celebration, I can say, somewhat in family for Claude. So just for the program, you see, so there will be 2 talks, one by François, one by Pierre-Louis, and there's a coffee break. Just next from here, there will be science, and you can also, with the weather, go to the cour. To the court. The lunch break, so there is no organized lunch here, but around here there is enough coffee houses and restaurants. And then we restart at 4:20, so we have enough time for lunch break with our guests from the United States, Dave and Jeff. And then the mot final, the final word, of course, to Claude. So we would more or less stick in time to that schedule that is a bit flexible. Okay? So, having said that, it's my pleasure to introduce the first speaker, François, who also helped me in the organization of today. And he will speak. So the titles for François and myself I chose. So François will talk about kinetic Claude. I will talk about quantum Claude. You will understand during the talks what we mean by that. François.
Okay, so I don't think I use that. Thank you very much. I wish to thank the organizers, but especially Pierre-Louis for this very special day here. It's a pleasure being here to celebrate Claude, who wanted a small-scale event. And so I think maybe this doesn't fit exactly the description of a small-scale event. I see so many friends here, but it's certainly a pleasure to be here to celebrate your birthday. Okay, so, I met Claude some time ago because Claude was my PhD advisor, as some of you know. And so I met him at École Normale, it was the beginning of the 80s. And I met Claude in his office, he handed me this paper by Bardos, Santos, Santis, which was a paper about the diffusion approximation of the linear Boltzmann equation. So that paper somehow was important at the time for me and for the community working around Claude in kinetic models, because somehow it's a precursor to hydrodynamic limits of kinetic models, and in particular to things like deriving Navier-Stokes from the Boltzmann equation or from simplified models thereof, right? So to give you a brief idea of perhaps one of the central results in this paper. Okay, so let me see. Yeah, maybe this one, no, this one. All right, so back to business. So the content of the paper was that you start from your favorite kinetic model, which, Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. You start from your favorite linear Boltzmann equation. For the distribution function f epsilon txv, which is a distribution function of whatever kind of particle you can think about, neutrons, whatever, right? And you put it under a diffusion scaling. And if you assume that the average velocity v is equal to zero in the limit as epsilon tends to zero, then f epsilon converges to rho, a function that forgets about the v-dependence in the distribution function. And rho is the solution to the diffusion equation. Dt rho equals to del of d grad rho in x. So here, I didn't put any assumptions on the on the scattering kernel. So d is going to be generically a matrix. It's going to be a symmetric positive definite matrix. But if you add some assumptions like about rotation invariance of both the measure mu and the scattering kernel k, then d is going to be a bona fide diffusion coefficient, which is going to be a scalar field. Now, two important features in this result is that the way the diffusion coefficient is computed is by solving this Fredholm integral equation involving the scattering coefficient. So given Vj, the components of the vector V, you solve for B this Fredholm integral equation. It turns out to be Fredholm because of the properties of K, which you assume that K is a nice continuous function, say. And of course, this uses the compatibility condition that the integral, the average of V for the measure mu is equal to zero, right? Because this is exactly the condition under which you can solve that equation, given the property that the integral of K is equal to one, and K is symmetric in V and W, right? Okay, so, all right, so with this B, then you construct the diffusion matrix by the formula given here. Djk is 1 over sigma, the integral of Vjbk, and you integrate in V, and you easily check that D is symmetric and definitely positive. All right, so now the proof of this result uses a variant, sort of linear variant of the Boltzmann H theorem, and this is which, you know, where the Boltzmann H function is going to be a quadratic. It's going to be L2 norm instead of L log L quantity. And but you have this control on the entropy production term on the right-hand side, which tells you that essentially the distance from F epsilon to equilibria, which in this case are going to be functions independent of the velocity variable. This tells you that this distance goes to zero as epsilon tends to zero, and with this, this is exactly all you need to be able to prove the diffusion approximation for this linear model here. All right, so somehow this particular feature, this particular property, the linearized H theorem, is sort of the one of the first key arguments in all hydrodynamic limits, the Boltzmann equation leading to diffusion equations, be it the Stokes or the Navier-Stokes equation, right? Because it really is the same as the same idea. So there is, so you see here, there is some notion of irreversibility. So the I dropped out. Sorry for the typo. There's some notion of irreversibility that you use in the linear Boltzmann equation here because you use some variant of the H theorem, which we know for the Boltzmann equation is the entropy, it's related to the entropy, and therefore it's related to irreversibility for the Boltzmann equation. Now, Claude was always interested in reversibility, irreversibility, and always fascinated by this idea that you, you know, you start from a model coming out of mechanics, like Hamiltonian dynamics of particles, and in some limit, after some mysterious process, you end up with something that contains diffusion terms and which therefore is going to be irreversible. So you know we know that we can't solve the heat equation backwards, right? So for this reason, Claude was not entirely satisfied with this result. for some reason, even though the result is nice, and started to talk to me about trying to do the same for reversible dynamics. So we came up, some time after that, we came up with a kind of toy model, which is built on Arnold's cat map. So cat map is a very strange terminology. So what it is, you take your favorite hyperbolic matrix, so it's a 2x2 matrix with integer coefficients, determinant equal to 1, right? And you let it act on the torus. So you pick two angles, right? And you transform these angles, omega 1, omega 2, by this matrix 2, 1, 1, 1, and you reduce mod 1, say. So it generates a sequence of Fibonacci numbers, as you can imagine, so it grows very fast. And the reason for calling that a cat map is that, so I think it's in the book by Arnold, or Arnold and Aves at the beginning of the 60s, Arnold and Aves got the interesting idea of taking the picture of a cat and applying this transformation to it. And you see that the poor cat, after one iteration, is transformed into the picture on the right, bottom right. So you don't recognize very well the cat, but of course it's there, right? I mean, if you...
It's a play on Schrodinger's.
Yes. Well, no, not exactly. But, the information is there, but it's been completely distorted, right? So this is a perfectly invertible dynamics. However, it has nice properties which you may hope to use to prove some diffusion limit. And the idea that we got is to look at a very strange model where you have, say, a point particle which lives between two horizontal plates. Between the two plates, you have pure transport. There's no collision between the plates. It's a Knudsen gas, if you want. So it's free transport between the plates. And each time you hit one of the plates, you're reflected by this strange law of reflection, which is driven by the cat map. So if you go, for instance, up, for a particle going up, then it carries with it a vector of frequencies, omega 1, omega 2. And each time you hit one of the plates, the omega is changed by the cat map, right? So there is a horizontal velocity field, u of omega, which is going to be a nice, smooth velocity field. And you have these dynamics, which each time you hit the plates, changes the omega. So, here it's a purely reversible dynamics. Nevertheless, as epsilon tends to zero, under the assumption that u is average zero, as, same as the fact that the v was to be of zero mean before, so because you want to avoid a drift drift at leading order, right? And there is this second condition, which is a bit more mysterious, that u of omega cannot be decomposed as b of omega minus b of a omega, for some b in L2, then f epsilon plus and minus converge to the solution of a diffusion equation, and the diffusion matrix is given by this Green-Kubo formula. So the properties of the A transform are such that the series converges, and the series not only converges, but it gives you something that's a matrix, a symmetric matrix, and it's definite positive, right? So, I mean, this needs some proof, but the fact that it's definite positive, it's related to the fact that u of omega cannot be represented in the form b of omega minus b composed with a omega, right? I mean, these two things are intimately related. And also, it's related to the fact that u is smooth, right? Okay, so that's the fact that u is smooth is important for the convergence of the series. Okay, so pictures. So I think at the time when we got this result, Marie suggested that we should have illustrations for this result, and that's they were supplied by Jean-François Colonna. Unfortunately, I was not able to retrieve the illustrations from the I mean, from the website of PhysicaD where this paper appeared. So I had to redo them myself, and they're much less nice than the original Colonna. But you know, I mean, it's I'm not good at doing pictures, right? Okay. So here you see some trajectories. Now you're interested only in the horizontal position, right? So you're looking at trajectories starting from x equals zero. And you have several possible initial vectors of frequencies. In other words, you have several possible initial horizontal velocity fields. Now, even though this matrix is chaotic, so if you look at these trajectories, they look like some kind of Brownian trajectories of some sort, right? But even though this is the case, still you have some particular points for which the velocity vector is going to be periodic, and you end up with this very regular trajectory where, you know, I mean, the point loops because it's a period three it's a period three point for the transformation A, and so I told you about this condition that U should not be at the form B of omega minus B of A omega. And if you choose B of this type, then you don't have any diffusion at all, because essentially the trajectory is going to stay near the origin and will never move away, right? So you don't see this growth of the displacement, which is going to be asymptotically proportional to the square root of time, right, as it should be for diffusion. So essentially the dynamics stays confined near the origin. So if you you can sort of zoom in and you see that you stay inside a box whose size is the amplitude of the cosine, therefore it's between minus one and one with the proper scaling. Okay. Good, so two remarks about this. First remark is that the limit here is weak only and not pointwise as the first result. And it cannot be strong, because if it was strong, you would pass to the limit in a nonlinear quantity like entropy, like L2 norm or whatever, and that would not be compatible with the fact that the starting point, the starting model is reversible and the limit is not. There's another observation, which is that this condition on U, the fact that U cannot be put in the form B of omega minus B of A omega, this is the analog of the Fredholm equation in the first model, in the linear Boltzmann equation. And there, you know, this solving this equation was really key to finding the diffusion coefficient, the diffusion constant, the diffusion matrix, right? So, yes. But here, so, you know, the first thing when you see this model, the model with the cat map, you say, haha, we're going to do the same. Solve for B this thing. And so besides, you're very happy because you see such U's are going to be dense in L2, right? So you think this is very nice. I mean, okay. But unfortunately, if you find a B like that, then the diffusion matrix is equal to zero. So that's bad news. It's not what you want to observe. So that's really a big difference between the two models. And also, I mean, the proof is based on an explicit representation of the solution up to order epsilon and mimicking the proof, the Ito formula. So that's not exactly what Claude wanted as a proof. He would have preferred a more PD type or more less dependent on representation proof, but you know, I mean, that's the best we could do. To conclude, I mean, with a broader picture, there's this idea of using the hyperbolic nature of the cat map, which in fact comes from a much older result, although these are not really mathematical results. There were ideas by Nikolai Krylov, I mean, not the Krylov of diffusion equations, a physicist who lived, in the 40s, Nikolai Sergeyevich Krylov from Leningrad, I think, who wrote a thesis on the idea that somehow the fact that the Billiards dynamics was to him vaguely reminiscent of the geodesic flow on surfaces with negative curvature would produce enough chaos or enough ergodic properties, enough nice ergodic properties, to help in the derivation of the Boltzmann equation. So as you can imagine, this was a topic that Claude was very much interested in. There's a picture of Hadamard, because I think that Hadamard was the first one to realize that the geodesic flow on surfaces with negative curvature would have sufficiently many instabilities to generate these kind of properties. However, I'm not sure that Hadamard himself thought about ergodic theory. This came much after with Hopf and Hedlund in the 30s. So I think that Hadamard's contribution to this was more like 1898 or something like that. So it's still 19th century mathematics. Okay, so but the most important take-home message here is happy birthday, Claude. Right, so this was happy 85th birthday.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.